and then one in Cambodia. Think about what I said. Amen. Boston is no easy place, I guarantee you. And I know I've met your father. I've not met you, this church planter here. And I was thinking, I've been in a couple of conferences with Brother Stelzik before he went. They were on deputation and had had a couple of opportunities to speak with him. And honestly, other than New York City, and I know everything is a degree of hard, but I can't imagine a more difficult place to go in the United States than the Boston, the Northeast area, and carve out a church in that area and then add to it the pandemic. I was thinking as he was giving his testimony, having planted the church that I pastored for 37 years, you move to an area, and I've had people say to me, well, how many families did you have when you went there? And I said, well, I had mine, but my wife really didn't like my preaching, and so she wouldn't come to, no. We didn't know anyone, and so you do the only thing you know you can do, and that's go door knocking. Well, that's out, and especially with the pandemic, I'm not going to say it's out, but it is certainly limited. And, you know, sometimes you want to look up into the face of God and say, did I miss it? Or is this really what you wanted? And the amazing thing is, somewhere down the road, when we're faithful and we do what God wants us to do, we'll look back and we'll say, God was so right. And God knew exactly what he was doing and exactly the timing was right. And God did things that we could have never imagined him doing, and he did it through us. And it's just it's a wonderful thing to experience God working in your life. That's really what I want to be the theme of this conference, whether it's Brother Brown or this young man or pastor or Brother Stelzik and the Canavans going to Ireland. You know, we've become such a timid generation. We think that God can work through everybody but us, when in truth, God's trying to work through us and would be glad to work through us, and we can have a great adventure. The greatest adventure in the world is not some vacation. It's not a hike on the mountains. It's walking with God in his plan and his will for your life. And so we can accomplish that. He'll work through us in ways you can't imagine. All right, I've sure enjoyed it. Brother Brown, that was exciting. I am so thankful you're away from the cow house. What was it called? The buffalo house. And I would love to see that video your wife made. I'm gonna see if I can find that. And I'm going to show that to my wife, House Hunters. And say, honey, I think I found the one for us. Oh, amen. All right, turn with me if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's so good to be here, and I'm so pleased. I don't know if that's the right word, but thank you for coming out on a cold, rainy Thursday night. I just want you to know that blesses your preacher's heart. It blesses this preacher's heart. It's just encouraging to have people, and I know why you're here. You're not here because I'm here. You're here because you love the Lord and you want to hear from the Lord. And I want you to know I never take that for granted. And I'm asking God to give us something from his word tonight that'll encourage us. But thank you for being so faithful. You're an encouragement to others. I hope you know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Would you notice it? For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's ask God's help tonight. Father, we're so grateful. My heart has been so blessed. First, by these faithful people who have come because they just want to be obedient to you, and they want to be used, and they want their church and this missions program to make a difference. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard from these young men and their families. God bless them. And I just pray that you would meet their needs as varied as they are and give them wisdom for their ministries. And Lord, now we pray that you would take this time and speak to our hearts from your word. We want to learn more. We want to know more. We want to be challenged. We want to move forward with you. So help us to see truth tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The world is immense. I know you know that. But I'm amazed at how many languages there are in the world. I didn't realize all those things. We had a young lady called out of our church. She was a very gifted linguist, and she went and studied how to translate, and now she's working in the world somewhere helping translate the Bible for people who have no Bible in their language. And it's not like there's one or two of those. There's hundreds of those. It's so huge, the world is. How many cultures there are. I look at the culture that we saw in Cambodia. And I'm not saying this to be humorous, but then I looked at the culture in Lawrence, Massachusetts. And preacher kind of kiddingly said, well, they didn't go to a foreign land, but they went up north. But you know what? If you're raised somewhere else, it is a foreign culture. It's a totally different way of looking at life and proceeding through life. I'm just saying our world is immense. In the Washington, D.C. area where I pastored, we had a couple of Americans in our church. Now, I'm being a little bit silly there, but it was an international community. And it's amazing how many people from how many places, and no matter how large it is and how immense it is, here's what gets me with it. Of all the 7 billion people on this earth, and all the languages, and all the cultures, and all the colors, and all the governments, and all the places, there is only one name whereby a man must be saved. And I don't care how beautiful the Buddhist temples are. I don't care how serious the worshipers of their ancestors are, or the Hindus are, or the Muslims are. I don't care all the branches of so-called Christendom. I don't care what the title is. I don't care what their scriptures are. There is only one way to go to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, here's my problem. As big as the world is, I have trouble seeing what God sees in this world. Because sometimes, no, most of the time, my problem is that my world, to me, is what is 3 feet around me. My world consists of what I have to do this day. My world consists of what my problem is for this day, or how I feel this day, or what I want to have for this day. And I need God's help to literally lift up my eyes and see beyond my little world. And I'm not saying that to be insulting, but sometimes I think that we have actually come to the place where we think the sun revolves around us, and it don't. We're a little piece of this universe. We're a little piece of God's plan. And one of the hopes of this conference is that God, through His Spirit, works in our hearts to lift up our eyes and to really see this world as He sees it, and to have a burden for what He sees and what He does in this world. I think Paul was that kind of a man. I wish that I could bring Paul into this day and meet him. I think he would be physically perhaps one of the most unimpressive men that you'd ever meet. I don't think that he was a big guy. I don't think he was a good-looking guy. I don't even think that he was an appealing guy in how he administered, but man, did he walk with God. And he was a man who captured this thought. He lived beyond his world. He lived beyond himself. He lived beyond his petty problems or his dreams or his aspirations or his needs. He was a man, according to this passage, that lived beyond his measure. He was a man, according to this passage, that wanted to go to the regions beyond. And if you'll allow me, he was also a man who lived beyond his means because he lived by faith and he wanted your faith to increase so that his means would be increased. And so he lived beyond his measure, lived beyond the regions that were comfortable to him, lived beyond his means in a right sense. And I want to try to develop that because I want us to be challenged by the Spirit of God in this meeting to be people who live beyond. Notice those with me. Number one, Paul says he lived beyond his measure. Look at verse 14 again. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. The Corinthian church, Corinthian people, had sometimes had pretty adversarial relationship with Paul. They didn't like him sometimes. And sometimes they would make accusations about him, meaning to be harsh or hurtful, but they weren't true. And one of the things that they're saying to Paul in that statement is this. They've accused him of Paul, you're a dreamer. You're a dreamer. You think, Paul, you come to our church and you preach to us about giving so that we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. Newsflash, Paul, the world's not going to be reached for Jesus Christ. You're dreaming, Paul. Paul, you can't send a guy to Cambodia. You can't send a guy to start a church in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Galway, Ireland, they're Catholic there. You can't go start a church there. I don't know about you, but I get tired of can't and don't and won't and you know, all the stuff that goes with it. And what Paul was a guy who said, well, I believe we can. I think we can. And I love how he answers them because he looks at them and he says, we reached you. Hey, we're not standing in Jerusalem. We're in Corinth. We reached you. If you stop and think about it, there are always people who will tell you the gospel can't go from Jerusalem to Samaria. We can just keep that here. That's just for us. But it did go to Samaria. And then there was a group of people who said, well, you know, Jerusalem, Jews, Samaria, half Jews. And so maybe we can understand how it goes from there to there. But you could never take the gospel to Antioch. They're pure Gentiles over in Antioch. But it went there and it became the strongest missions church of its day. There were those who said, well, you may have been able to get it to Antioch, but you'll never get it to Asia Minor. But they did. And they said, well, you might get it there, but you'll never get it over across the sea to Europe. But they did. And by the way, we're living in a place called the New World. And it had to jump an Atlantic Ocean to get here. But I can give you testimony it got here because in February of 1975, I caught it. I got saved. The gospel can go. God can send us to those places. We can, beyond our measure, see God work. Listen, everything about reaching the world is impossible if you view it from the perspective of our own measure. Everything about Mike Edwards is too little, not enough, never enough. But you pour the Holy Spirit into a surrendered Mike Edwards, and it is incredible what God can do. You pour the Holy Spirit into the lives of people sitting in this room in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Faith Baptist Church. You can shake this world because of what God can do through you. Job number one of our conference is to pray that God will help us to see not what we can do by our own measure, but what can be done in the measure of God working through us. That's why Paul is very careful in verse 17 to say, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Someday when Community Baptist Church owns that building, and it can, and someday when they have services there and they're falling out the back door because they're too crowded, and Brother Stelznik might want to get up one day and say, "Look at what," and you have to be very careful because it's not what I did. Look at what God did in this place. But God can. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, don't turn there, for the sake of time now, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." If you study that simple word, now God is able. Unto him that is able. That word able, according to Strong, simply means this: to be possible. I'm telling you, with God, you may have heard this in the scripture, everything is possible. And oh yeah, nothing is impossible. And God is working in and through us. And so when I step into the plan and the will of God, I'm not trying to be silly in what I'm about to say, but when I step into the will of God in obedience to what God has told me to do, there is simply nothing impossible to be done. As a matter of fact, everything he directs me to do, it is possible to do. And God can do it through us if we step into his plan and say, "God, wherever you take me, whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm willing to do." And then stand back and see him work through us. It's startling. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Sometimes our sin is this. We come to the place where we're satisfied with how far we've gone. And we say, "God, I don't know that I want to step beyond where I am." I'm telling you, just like God can take this young family to Cambodia and has and done a work, just like God can take the Canavans to Ireland and do a work. Hey, listen, that privilege is not for people who have missionary after their name. It's not for people only that have pastor before their name. It is for every believer who are willing to step into the plan of God. God is willing to work through you, and you can see things that you thought were impossible, and oh, by the way, are impossible if you're trying to do it by yourself. You can see God do that through your life. You say, "Well, preacher, you just don't understand." And we never do, do we? We never understand. "You just don't understand, preacher. I can't give more because I'm on a fixed income." Bless God, you've got one. You've got an income. I'm going to talk a few minutes later about some people that got over that. You're right. You can't figure out how. God can. But we've become such timid people. We want to read the testimony of somebody who did step out on faith. We're just not sure we want to live the testimony of someone who stepped out in faith. And Paul said, "You know what? I'm not satisfied to live with what I can do. I want to see what God can do through me." And he lived beyond his own ability, beyond his own measure. He lived beyond his own borders. Again, verse 16 said he wanted to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. One of the greatest political questions in our nation today is how to deal with those that are coming into our country both legally and illegally. I'm not trying to solve that problem tonight, but I'm telling you what our great concern should be is this. How many are we sending out of our country to reach others for Jesus Christ? Paul was a man interested in preaching in the regions beyond. He was saved around 42 AD, and he spent some years in the desert, some years being taught by others, and around 46 AD, he began traveling the world preaching the gospel. And for the next 15 years, he traveled by foot, he traveled by donkey, he traveled by ship. He was supported by others, but he was also, when necessary, willing to work as a tent maker. He preached in cities and in villages, both in and out of season. He was in shipwreck. He was left for dead outside the city of Lystra. He preached in Jerusalem and North Africa and Asia Minor, in Greece, on the islands of the Mediterranean, Italy, and even in the capital of the Roman Empire itself, Rome. And if that man would have had a jet, who knows where he would have gotten. And all of that is beyond his measure. All of that was beyond his ability. But somehow God took that man and took him across the then known world, and he preached everywhere he went. There was no border. There was no barrier that could keep him out. If it was the Lord's will that he go in, he literally lived the Great Commission in his life. Where are those people today? Where are the people back at Antioch who gives so that he can do that? Where are the Barnabases? Where are the Silases? Where are the Timotheuses? Where are the people that will step out and say, bigger than anything in and for my life is the need to live beyond my measure and the reason or the purpose to go beyond my border to reach the regions beyond. I studied one fellow who was a commentator, and he was trying to define regions beyond, and here's all he could come up with. Still further. Still further. Hey, Paul, you're in Rome. Where are you going? Still further. Hey, Paul, you're in Antioch. Where are you going to go? Still further. And I love that spirit. C.T. Studd said this once. He said, some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue ship within a yard of hell. He went on to say this, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Can I talk to you just a minute? You know the great sin of our generation? It's becoming exposed. You know what it is? We love and crave safety and security. Safetyism is destroying our culture. Amen. That one's an easy day, amen. We'll see what we get here. Safetyism is destroying the evangelistic spirit of our churches. We want to be secure. I don't want to go still further in my giving. I want to be secure. You just don't understand. Stand, preacher, that would call for me to sacrifice. That would call for me to step out in faith and live for God. I want to be secure. I will give out of my abundance. I will give that which is convenient. But preacher, I'm this age, and preacher, my kids are this age, and preacher, this is my place in life. And you just don't understand, preacher. I need to be secure, and my family needs to be secure, and we need to be safe, and the world goes to hell while we are safe. Because we've lost the spirit of being willing to go beyond, still further. Man, where do we get that? How do we get that back? And And there's a song, I'm not a good singer, but I want to sing just a verse of this because I think in it is the answer. It goes this way. Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden, blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. You know what we've lost? We've lost seeing the truth of the desperate need of a world that surrounds us. I watch those little children. Did you realize that if the Browns didn't go to May Watt and live in the Buffalo House, that there's 50 kids that would have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? They'd have lived poor all their life. Their life would have consisted of working in a rice field and burning incense in a Buddhist temple, and then they would have died and gone to hell. But we're secure. And we're safe. And we got to challenge ourselves. And we got to say, are we living so to hold on to the life that we have envisioned for ourselves that we are willing to not see the hurt, the need, how about this, the opportunity that if somebody will just tell them about Jesus Christ? I was listening to Brother Steltzik. I don't know when he made that video, but recently, and he said in the last couple of months, 4 people have trusted Christ and 2 of them have been baptized. Hey, that may not be earth-shattering to you. Go walk the streets of Lawrence, Massachusetts, and be the preacher who takes his life in his hands and puts his little kids and his wife out on those streets. Be that guy and watch those 4 get saved and see if it's not a miracle to you. But we're so stuck in making sure that we're comfortable, making sure that sacrifice doesn't have to enter into our life. I mean, after all, I'm 70. I've paid the price. I've lived. I deserve. You deserve hell. We're people that have to say to ourselves, I don't know what the rest of the world is doing, and maybe everybody else is going to live their life that way, but I got to go still further. I got to go still further. I've got to pray more. I've got to give more. I've got to care more. And if you're in this conference and you enter it and exit it the same as you entered it, then we failed. Because we've got to go still further. Notice this one last thought with me. Not only must we go still further, we have to live beyond our means. Oof. You will never hear me say that in any other context. I am the cheapest man in this room. taking, you're going to think I'm kidding. Can I tell you the date that I take my wife on? We go to McDonald's and we get two cheeseburgers, a buck a piece, and any size drink we want. And this is where I splurge. I get two straws and we buy one drink. That's our date. I don't think I'd do anything, but I thought it was a good story, so I thought I'd just share that with you. No, I'm not saying that we ought to be excessive in our spending. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if there's any place to invest, if there's any place to step out on faith, you know where it is? In our giving to the Lord. In our giving to what matters the most to the Lord. Hey, God is able to provide and our world can be reached. And what Paul is saying in verse 15 is, listen, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to put all that I have in it. I'm just praying that God gets a hold of your heart and your faith is increased so that you can enlarge us so that we can go to Spain, so we can go to Rome, so we can go further in Asia Minor. It's not about enriching us. Now, I know Brother Brown and this preacher here, I know they're getting rich off their gospel ministry, aren't you? Well, they could almost buy shoes for their kids. They're not getting rich. Nothing we try to raise is about making anyone rich except rich in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, I could go further. I could do more. Listen, I believe the best giving is sacrificial giving. Giving that senses a burden and desires to meet a need, that's the giving that God loves. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because before the foundations of the world, God knew something about us. He knew we would fall, and He knew that we would need to be redeemed. And He made a decision back there in eternity past that He would give His only begotten Son for you and I. And I don't know if you've taken a good look at me or a good look at yourself. We ain't worth it. Only His mercy and grace allowed for that. If you don't think sacrificial giving defines God, then look at His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave up fellowship with the Father and walked on this earth for 3 years, facing every temptation that you and I face, was yet without sin. And then of His own will went to the cross on Calvary and there died in our place. Hey, that's sacrifice. And our attitude is, well, I think I could conveniently give this. I don't think I would miss this. Do you think the Father missed His Son? Oh my. But we want to be safe. And we want to be secure. And we want to live life in the way that we've defined it. Can I just be real honest for a minute? I want to get permission because it's bad. No. I do not go to Starbucks anymore, but I want to tell you, I love coffee. And Dunkin' Donuts is not real coffee. So I would go buy the strongest coffee I could get, and I'll tell you why I stopped going. Stood behind a couple of ladies one day waiting just to get a cup of coffee. And they ordered two drinks and it came to $15.32. I said, nope. Just can't do it. Because people that do that would then say, I don't know that I can increase my faith promise. I pastored a church for 37 years and I'd get myself in trouble because we come to Faith Promise Time, and I would have people say to me, "Preacher, this is an expensive area to live in." Like, yeah, I know, I live here. And they would say, "You know, we just don't see how we can afford to do that." And I would look back across at them, and I'd get myself in trouble, but I'd say stuff like, "What's your cable bill? $250 a month?" I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to be just controversial, but I'm just saying to us, there's a bunch of little Cambodian kids that are going to die and never hear Jesus Christ's name. And I'm just telling you that the Lord gave everything for us. And get this, and I'm almost done. Sometimes it's just that we ought to sacrifice. It's just that we ought to say to ourselves, "I can do without that. And I can increase what I do. I can give because I see the need and my faith is increased and I'm willing to sacrifice because this life is not all about me being secure and it's not all about me being satisfied and it's not all about me living out my dream as the world defines a dream. There is a world that needs Jesus." I love the story of Jesus going down by the treasury. And he took his disciples down, and one day he said, "Fellas, let's go down to the treasury and let's observe people giving." That ought to scare us all. Jesus observes giving. Let's go observe giving. And when they got there, there were men whom he draws attention to that came and gave vast sums of money. And they would even hire trumpeters to go before them because they wanted to be applauded for what they were giving. It was in the women's court and it was a giving of alms to help the poor. And they were honestly metal boxes with big fluted horns, and you would drop your money down the horn. And they brought metal coins and the trumpets would blow, and people would shout ooh and ah, and these men would come up and servants would be carrying their boxes of money and they would drop that money down and everybody would go ooh, ooh, ah. Jesus looked at it, he says, "They gave a lot." And a little bit after all that died down, a little widow lady came and she had the whopping sum of 2 mites. You say, "How much is 2 mites worth?" Not much. I don't know. She dropped them down in there so that somebody else could have something to eat. Somebody else could have a need met. And as she walked away, the Lord simply said this to his disciples. Did you observe all the guys that gave those vast amounts? They gave out of their abundance. What they gave was a large amount, but it was convenient for them to give. It didn't cost them their dream. There was no sacrifice involved. They gave out of their abundance. But did you see the little old lady that nobody noticed it? She gave more than all the rest. Why? 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 Because her gift was not out of convenience and abundance. It was an actual sacrifice. An actual sacrifice. You know what the end of that story is? That lady died that night from starvation because her needs weren't met and she had... How many believe that's how that story ends? I don't believe that. How many believe if we could see the end of that story, and someday in heaven we'll see it, God met her needs in a great way after she gave those 2? That's my ending to that story. Woo! She was never so happy she gave 2 mites, and she saw God work in a way she could have never seen God work simply because she sacrificed and trusted Him. She went beyond. Now that's all I'm saying. I'm done. But here's what I'm asking you. Are you going to stay where you are, or are you going to be willing to go beyond. Just to go beyond. Beyond your measure, trusting God to do something in and through and for you. Are you willing to look up and see the tremendous need in this world and say, God, those fields are white already unto harvest. We've got to get busy and get over there. And are you willing to have a sacrificial spirit that says, God, I'll trust you. Remember Elijah and that widow? He was a missionary because he went and asked her for a meal. I'm kidding when I say that. He went to this widow, God sent him there, and he said, she'll feed you. And when he got there, she had enough meal to make herself and her son a cake. They were going to eat that, and then they were going to go die because that was all they had, and they were going to starve. Elijah had the audacity to say, hey, make a cake for me first. Isn't that a Baptist preacher? Make a cake for me first. And the old lady did. And you know what she found? Her barrel never wasted. It never emptied. Now, if you knew my heart, what I want to say to God is, hey, I trust you, and I appreciate that every time I come, there's enough for the meal, but could you just fill it up? My point is this. Do you think that lady will have a story to tell? You bet. She'll have a story to tell because she was willing to step out and go beyond what was comfortable and go beyond what was easy and to just go beyond what she could do herself and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm willing to put me second. You first. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your blessings on our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, we can get so comfortable, and we can be so concerned with our own security and our own safety that we lose the ability, we lose the vision of sacrifice. Thank God you sacrificed for us. You gave that which was most precious. And you identify for us over and over and over again. I wish I had an hour to give the illustrations, but you identify over and over again your love when your people sacrifice for others, sacrifice to step into your plan. And so, Lord, help us in 2021 in Faith Baptist Church in Elizabeth City to be willing to step out, to go beyond, to say, God, I don't know what's not for me to do, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to see you work in my life in a great way. And there are things that I'm willing to sacrifice. There are ways that I can increase my giving so that others can go. And Lord, I want to walk that walk with you, the walk of beyond what I can do, seeing what you can do through me. So now, just before I conclude my prayer, I wonder how many would say, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say, you know, preacher, I've kind of become satisfied with the status quo in my life. I don't really love to be challenged. I just like things to be how I like them. And God just spoke to my heart, and I don't know what the decision is right now. Maybe it is to be more concerned about what I write down on that card and to find a way to give more. Maybe it is to pray more. Maybe it is to care more. But I'm telling you, preacher, God has stirred my heart. And I know that I want to break out of this safety and security and status quo. I am willing to go beyond what I'm doing for and in missions. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up as a way of saying, you know what, I get it. God is speaking to me about stepping out, going beyond. Thank you. Take your hands down. Maybe God is speaking to you about your life, saying, I can use you somewhere. And yes, it may take some courage to step out. Let God speak to you. Father, work in our hearts now, and I pray that you would meet needs spiritually. Challenge us and help us to respond to you in obedience. I pray, Lord, that if there are those here that need this invitation because of difficult things in their life, maybe even a question about their salvation, I pray that you would bring them in this time. We could help them with the Bible. So use this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's